body, it is quite legal to sleep in. It is quite legal, and it is legal everywhere in the county, to pull out by the side of the road and rest if you're tired. That's legal even in the so-called no camping zones of the county. And that happened because Gary Patton spoke up alone. Because Gary Patton didn't spend all his time rushing around looking for consensus, but rather he had the courage to let consensus be generated by the force of the principles that he was articulating. And that's something that Crone and Sugar, or someone on that council, needs to start understanding and doing. We need a voice that speaks out, not someone who's diddling and dicking and wandering around through backroom politics. At least that's my point of view. Does this task force intend to lower a few fines and kick the whole question of the sleeping ban, campgrounds, and other such homeless issues into yet another meaningless commission down the road? I have watched Mira Byers spend 6 months in a meaningless search for a campground as she ratified the closing of the Coral Street Open Air Shelter in 1995-96. I have sat through 6 hours of former council member Kennedy's do-nothing homelessness hearings in 1997. If the council thinks it can dump the homeless like past councils did with a sop and a sigh, it will face the protests that come from raised and betrayed expectations. If this task force is to be more than a task farce, Crone, Sugar, and Fitzmaurice must help buyers shoulder the burden of doing the right thing, suspending the sleeping ban in appropriate areas of the city, immediately opening up camping areas in the undeveloped areas, and leading the charge on what may be a very unpopular issue in some quarters. The mayor should not have to take the full burden of the leadership here. Byers candidly admits she is weary of the issue, particularly the campground issue. We are all weary of it, but none so weary as those who cannot rest, who cannot sleep without facing cops with drawn guns at midnight. Put homeless on the task force as staff or as volunteer staff. Deal with a specific series of questions as factual issues. Deal with the magnet myth so beloved by Councilmember Rotkin with a few straight inquiries to Santa Barbara, Eugene, and Fort Lauderdale. Speak up when bigoted nonsense floods the ears from the old regime merchants and residents presenting unsubstantiated fears. If those who are afraid to speak in the light of day won't come to the council chamber, and they need psychiatric counseling for their apprehensions, then let's offer it to them, but don't let vitally needed reform wait until their psychiatric problems are resolved and their groundless fears laid to rest. Placating bigotry is a no-win situation. Would blacks and women have secured their rights if they'd waited to convince racists and patriarchs and the fearful politicians who pandered to them? Discrimination is not a rational thing. Arresting people for sleeping is not a rational thing. It can't be justified with rational discussion. Opinion cannot be changed simply through rational conversation. Power keeps prejudice alive. When the blacks stood up and said no, instead of begging for crusts, things changed. It may be homeless people need to pursue a new strategy. How about tying up the courts and the city attorney's office with the necessity defense to any camping tickets that are given? That's the defense that says you need to violate one law to prevent a greater evil. How about a class action suit against police harassment to force our police to stop their searches, ID checks, property destruction, and abusive, humiliating behavior? How about seeking a Pottinger-style settlement in federal court that bars unnecessary police contacts with homeless people committing life-sustaining misdemeanor behavior? How about a carefully organized boycott against the downtown businesses that lead to bigotry, a real one this time, led by dedicated students at UCSC and supported by Bay Area homeless advocates? If the Harvey West Association and the downtown neighbors really believe in barring sleep, not just in their neighborhood, but all over the city, then perhaps we should bring homeless people specifically to their neighborhoods to picket their streets. If these NIMBYs are saying not only not in my backyard, but don't sleep anywhere in town, then the issue will be raised where it will be heard and understood. Thick-headed, numb-hearted obstinacy, which refuses to acknowledge basic human rights, must be countered by a human rights movement that walks in the shoes and the footsteps of Martin Luther King and Desmond Tutu.
I believe those who have flooded the city council with fearful letters asking no change in the jail for sleep sections of the camping ban have some legitimate concerns. But they must be willing to enter into real dialogue on these questions and not hide in their homes from imaginary terrors. All of us want a city that is cleaner, safer, richer, and fairer. To move forward, we need to hear the real concerns. We need to struggle with the real concerns. But while this is happening, we cannot punish poor people to protect tender paranoia and abusive tradition. The real bad behavior that Councilmember Sugar is so fond of asking questions about at these task force meetings, he asks about, is there any way we can stop the bad behavior associated with homelessness? That's how he puts it. And yet at the same time allow people to sleep. The real bad behavior that we should worry about is not the crap and piss that can be dealt with if the city spends a few tens of the thousands of the millions it lavishes on the police, on public bathrooms and sanitary facilities. The real bad behavior is not the drug dealing that can only be dealt with through a real sea change in our attitude toward drug addiction and the drug prohibition laws. The real bad behavior is not the untidy camper who throws away one bit of litter for every 1,000 pieces of trash discarded by tourists going to and from the boardwalk or careless younger locals. The real bad behavior we must fight is discrimination, prejudice, and institutionalized economic racism, which punishes poor people for sleeping in vehicles, denies homeless people access to public accommodations at merchant whim, and postpones voter-endorsed human rights to human beings out of political calculations, the current course of our new, terribly progressive city council. This is supposed to be our council. Let's let them know they need to vote their consciences and their hopes. Just take a walk outside and feel the freezing temperature in the air. Then pick up the phone, pick up a pen, and take action to change this disgraceful situation. Again, the phone number to call is 420-5020, and then push 1. Tell the city council time to end the sleeping ban, or retire to your homes and let somebody else do it. The bold portions of this speech were all I intended to say at public comment. It was all that would have been allowed under the three-minute limit. I'm reading still from the speech, actually the flyer that I created after the speech. Still, the three-minute limit still being rigidly enforced by Mayor Catherine Byers. Even that was not permitted. The mayor delayed the public comment period for an hour and a half to let every single person speak who wanted to on the Riverfront Task Force issue. She then censored me and Peace and Freedom Party member Bernard Klitzner, the last remaining speakers. We had waited at the end of the line for 2 hours, Bernard with his son literally in his arms for his chance to address issues that the mayor's new majority simply refused to put on the agenda. Neither our brief time to speak to the council and the community at the public comment period, neither Sugar, Crone, nor Fitzmaurice, the new council majority, who spoke so avidly about public process and open politics during the fall election campaign, none of these people objected to our being censored after waiting for so long. We believe this decision reflected the discomfort and disrespect the new majority had for our political views. That was a speech that I didn't get to give, but it is available on a flyer called When Public Hearings Become a Public Imposture, Democratic Process as an Excuse for Inaction.
Among the feminists, so I understand. That's why I'm here today. I trust the
time it takes. What a difference your time can make for the new generation still coming along. If our movement is the last, we must see that the torch is passed. And today the young people will grow up strong, and thousands more will sing this song. Everybody.
San Jose around issues of police violence and civil rights for many a moon. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how are you doing, Bob?
Good. We originally called you because we heard tell of a community tribunal around the grand jury, but we also hear you've been investigating homeless civil rights abuses, too. What's happening?
Well, actually, at the tribunal, it was a town, when we called it a town hall meeting. It was co-sponsored. I mean, the secret is to get as many organizations as possible. And so the co-sponsors of this were the NAACP, downtown San Jose. About 125 people showed up, sponsors of the GI Forum, a San Francisco office, the ACLU, the Black Lives Association, the Human Rights Defense Committee, the Homeless Alliance. I'm going to get this name wrong. They're very, very important people, and I hate to do it when I do this. The National Organization Against Family Court, and that's not the name. And I apologize for the people down to the department.
Are there more organizations on the interruption?
Stop. that made it less and more an organistic issues.
What's the grand jury charge?
I think it's a grand jury. It's a criminal grand jury, and that's that somebody from the criminal matter. Well, there's a civil grand jury that I'm going to be so close. We're the ones that are expected to do this. We're the one all that does. They'll do it all halls and all ranches. We're the ones that will be the government and see if there's any wrongdoing. We're trying to be citizen, citizens heading in the wrong direction. See, it's not serving where it's supposed to serve. Citizens supposed to be able to go to the grand jury and say something is here. And then we have a lot of incentives for our powers of a lot of those powers. Okay.
You can direct reach me at 423 Hub. I'll find out if you can find the address.
Thursday at 7:30, and again on Channel 71,
voices from the village discussing the death penalty for Sirapong and Mumia. And of course, we have the 6 o'clock edition on Thursday of Bathrob Spears Broadsides, which we're going to be getting to in 4 days. That's pretty darn exciting. I had another flyer that I wrote. I just love to read these flyers, and I hope that you love to read them too, talking about, it's called Ban Bigotry, but Not Homeless People, and Wake Up and Join the Sleeping Ban Debate. It mentions the meeting tomorrow at 4 p.m. on the second floor of the library. It also mentions the 8 p.m. meeting on Wednesday, February 3rd, at City Hall. I see it misstates it, but that's the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. They're taking public testimony on how to lift, whether it's lifting the sleeping sections of the camping ban would affect women one way or the other. Anyway, Huff has come up with 3 proposals. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. One proposal is called the Minimum Protection Proposal. The second one is called More Protection. And the third has Most Protection. And I'm going to pass it on to you and see what you think. We've passed this on already to the task force. We don't even know that they've read it, but hey, we can always hope, and certainly we can bring it up at 4 o'clock on Monday. Minimum protection. First, eliminate the sleeping ban sections of the camping ban in appropriate zones such as industrial areas. Fund porta potties in sleep-permitted zones. Eliminate the blanket ban entirely. Strike the misdemeanor 6 months in jail, $1,000 fine for a second offense in 48 hours provision for violations of the sleeping ban. Require a warning for all sleeping and camping ban tickets as is currently provided in another section. Waive community service fees for low-income people in the sleeping ban tickets. Provide amnesty for all pending sleeping ban and blanket ban tickets. Fund a Eugene-style social service mediator to respond to all sleeping ban complaints
while camping citations will still be handled by the police. Allow overnight vehicular sleeping in private driveways with the permission of the owner. Now, all this is the minimum proposal. If they don't give us this, we hit the streets with our sleeping bags and just don't give up. However, there's a stronger proposal, which includes all those provisions. We call this more protection. We also limit the misdemeanor penalties to two offenses within a 24-hour period for the entire camping ban. That means right now, if you camp or sleep twice within 48 hours, you face up to 6 months in jail. We're saying that should happen only if you do it twice within 24 hours, and that we make it somewhat more difficult to harass people for that. Immediate opening of a parking structure for safe sleeping for those in vehicles, particularly families. Requirement that the city shall issue camping permits in designated areas to those who complete a camping course if a shelter emergency exists. Eliminate the public nuisance section of the camping ban as both superfluous and double jeopardy. Allow overnight vehicular camping with cooking in self-contained vehicles permitted on private property with permission and in non-residential, non-downtown, non-beachfront areas. That's the more protection. And then the most protection, and these are all tentative proposals, is all the ones you heard before. Plus, we adopt Pottinger-style guidelines. Pottinger is the decision that allows Miami homeless people to sleep and has for 5 years, or at least has told the police they should allow it. Monitoring police contacts and protecting homeless people from arrest for so-called life-sustaining conduct where there is no shelter space. And here's what that means. Departmental Order 11, Chapter 9 of the Miami Police Patrol Guidelines now says, in part, quote, "The City of Miami has a policy that we shall not arrest visibly homeless persons who live in public for performing acts criminalized as misdemeanors, such as sleeping, eating, lying down, or sitting in public when there is no available shelter. It is not a crime to be homeless. This policy should not be construed as protecting persons, whether homeless or not, from arrest for engaging in any other type of criminal activity. Such life-sustaining conduct misdemeanors include, 1, being in the park after hours, 2, public nudity where necessary to carry on the daily necessities of life, such as bathing or responding to a call of nature, 3, fires in parks, 4, obstructing passageway on sidewalks, 5, living or sleeping in vehicles, 6, loitering in restrooms. All these things are no longer crimes unless they can offer you a shelter space. 7, littering, 8, camping in parks, 9, use of facilities for other than intended purpose, e.g. sleeping on a park bench, sitting on a planter eave, 10, temporary structures in parks, 11, trespass on public property other than a structure or conveyance or specified exempt public property." So that actually is much broader protection of homeless people than even we have been contemplating. That's the maximum proposal we have. Plus, a second provision, we suggest restitution. City-appointed arbiter to review claims for damages from past harassment for human rights violations under the sleeping ban sections or egregious misconduct involving destruction of personal property, loss of liberty, etc. In other words, we consider that, and we acknowledge openly that what's been going on in Santa Cruz for the last two decades has been systematic violation of human rights of poor people, because that is what it has been. Let's not avoid that fact. It's the truth. That being the case, those who have been suffering that kind of abuse should be subject to some kind of restitution, have some ability to get paid back in some small measure for the abuses that they've suffered. So that is, these are a few of the proposals we've favored, forwarded to City Council in hopes that the task force is going to do something on Monday. Actually, some of us are just looking for the bare minimum, which is don't arrest people for sleeping in some zones of the city so that there can be legal places people can go to, and don't arrest people for covering up with blankets anywhere in the city. And don't make two violations a misdemeanor for sleeping under any circumstances, because that's beyond the pale. Which is pretty simple, pretty easy to understand, and actually doesn't step on the toes of neighborhoods or businesses, because the zones we're talking about
are not neighborhood and business zones. It will still be considered inappropriate to sleep in those areas, and you can still be told to move along to other areas where it is legal, like industrial areas. We also suggest putting in porta potties because that's what we call civilization. So you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, and we're going to do a bit of an interview with a rather rough-tongued gentleman. His views do not necessarily represent those of the management. This assumes, of course, we can find the tape that he's on. And I think we can. I think this is it.
You finally have changed from your career of criminal sleeping into monitoring criminal sleepers.
But I'm having difficulties, so the first thing we'll do is check out this familiar but good tune.
Happy John Dine was a friend of mine, lived here by the sea. Down on the streets of Santa Cruz, he always laughed at me. Abby and I went to church one night, thank God, and ate our fill. Asked him if he had any money, give me a fake dollar bill. Where is Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy, Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's just the police are happy, sadness is here to stay. Happy was as harmless as a butterfly, loved everyone he met. He never left the 60s, didn't really care for the internet. One day he was grooving to some tunes, doing the happy bop, when a bullet entered his chest, came from a Santa Cruz cop. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's hard for me to be happy, Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? He's gone away. And I guess the police are happy, sadness is here to stay.
It's about 5 to 11. We're in front of the coffee roasting company on Thursday morning, January 28th, and I'm talking to Ryder. And Ryder, you recently spent 4 days in jail.
Yes.
What was that all about?
I lit a cigarette by mistake, put it out, and a security guard yelled, so I slapped him.
Aha. And this is at the Metro?
Yes, I was crippled that morning because of the rain. I'd been out all night hiding from the police, so they wouldn't give me a ticket. And I made it into there almost crawling. I bummed a cigarette and I put a dollar in the bus and I put a dollar down for coffee. And this man wants to take away my coffee, my ride, just because I lit a cigarette for half a second. I said, please, you know, give me a break. You see, I'm a cripple. I can't even walk. He started screaming at me, spitting on me while he was screaming. I slapped